Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10.
Wrong liquor. Knows that a nigga biz is spreading rumors like a motherfucking punk biz. My fit is a bed for a kidnapped victim.
I love
J-O-N. Let's go original, man, so we can get spotted, man.
Play me one of them J-O-N tracks, man, that don't nobody even know about.
Yeah, this some for all the essential workers right here.
We back.
Where you been?
We back.
Uh-huh. Come on, man. This gonna be on our Gangsta Grills mixtape.
We back.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. We back.
It's about that time.
Oh, we back.
Oh. What I hear?
This what y'all was waiting for?
Oh, man. We back again.
Uh-huh.
The 85 South Show, I'm
here. You niggas
with
75
pussies. We do it. We get that money. Right. We back on the road and we still
85 South, let's go.
We back, huh? Got a man for the shack.
Okay.
Ain't gonna lie, I'm had to be here with y'all fools.
So,
who this is? I hear a voice.
Yeah.
Look. I hear some noise.
Yeah. Mr. Thanksgiving!
Oh, shit! Do it one more time.
You ready?
Do it one more time.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Thanksgiving, go!
Oh, shit. We win.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. We live. Because you know why? Uh-huh. We got
Mr. Thanksgiving! Hold on. We back. I mean like a spine. If I said that we was leaving there, you know that I'm lying.
Uh-huh.
All the girls I had, shit, they all wasn't fine. But one thing I can say was, shit, they all was mine.
Okay.
You think so? They ain't hit no nigga on the fucking law. Uh-huh. When you ain't looking, you don't think a nigga can deep throw.
Tell him,
deep throw to a whole nother man.
Yeah.
He thought that she was faithful till he found her on his fans.
That ain't my business.
$3.99.
What she was doing with it when I was gone, that ain't my business.
$3.99.
How much was it?
$3.99.
How much was it?
Hold up, bitch. She ain't need no dime. Bitch, $3.99.
It was $3.99, so I paid that shit.
That's right.
Damn.
I ain't hate that shit.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
A lot of niggas gonna hear this. And they gonna hate this shit.
What the fuck is wrong with you, man?
I was like the gunshot on the mixtape.
Hey, you can't open up. I know y'all can't open up.
You a project baby.
This nigga just opened the chips like he was smacking some ass.
You don't know.
Nope.
Damn, that one got a bulletproof vest on it.
That's a
new kind.
There was a point in my life where all the music in my car was a Gangsta Grill CD.
Yeah.
I mean an actual CD. Mm. I'm talking about some classic shit.
Real mixtape shit.
Like, mm-hmm. all the niggas had one. Mm-hmm. Everybody you wanted to listen to, before they dropped the album, they had to go see Drama and drop their dope-ass Gangsta Grillz mixtape.
All the time.
So it's like, today, the trap going platinum.
We got to go crazy.
All the way.
Yeah, man, because this is not an episode. Mm-hmm. It's a mixtape.
Yeah. Ow!
We got the one and only. Mr. Thanksgiving.
Ow!
DJ the Fuck Drama.
What's up, y'all?
In the trap.
It's only right. We got this motherfucking nigga that did the Gangsta Grillz in the trap with us, man. Listen,
you already knew.
It's an honor,
it's
man.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming, man. Good. Appreciate you, dude. Love. You know
man, the shit you did for the streets.
Nah, good looking.
Good looking. I'm talking about paying the motherfucking way for real.
I'm talking about when it, like, when it made a whole nother. You had to holler at him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about change the game.
It wasn't official.
Like. It wasn't invented, but it was like he reinvented the whole mixtape game. The way people fuck with music right now is still going on like that. You feel me?
Like, you took the attention off of albums for so long. Like, niggas wasn't even trying to drop an album. They needed that mixtape. If you want to get the streets to listen to, first of all, if you ain't even saying your shit for a minute and a half before the song come on, you ain't official.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you took a hell of a sacrifice for the streets, too. With, you know, having to go to nigga fucking the feds pictures, and all of that shit. Like, nigga went to jail for CDs.
For
nigga,
music, man.
For music, bro.
Shit's
and changed the game, man. So we honored to have you here.
Come on, man. Legendary.
Legendary. DJ Drama in the building.
Nah, pleasure to be here, man. Pleasure to be here, Legends Only. Is it fair to say, like, if I ask y'all, is Gangsta Grillz the most important mixtape series of all time? Like,
I mean,
yes.
I'm talking about you made people listen to the whole shit.
Mm. Right.
And it's like, even artists that we weren't necessarily all the way familiar with, that platform was so open where it's like, it wasn't the pressure of them being at the radio station having to try to freestyle and not fuck up. It was like, damn, run that shit back. Yeah. But I didn't know.
Hey, you can run that shit.
You know what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying?
Start over. Did you press the button?
I be telling people sometimes because then, you know, like the no DJ versions became a thing and everything. And I've seen people say, like, you know, I want to hear like mixtape without the drops. And it's a couple mixtapes out there without the drops, but it's just not the same feel. Like, you don't want to listen to Trap or Die without me talking that shit on there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Even for the battle, he was just trying to get his songs together, but Jeezy called me like, yo, you got some of them songs like we could play without the drops? I was like, niggas don't want to hear them shits without the drops.
You need it.
Yes, I did. Nigga. Yeah, they want to hear that. They want to hear that shit on there.
Right. Tell you what.
You know what I'm
I tell you what. You take my motherfucking drop off there if you want to.
Yeah, nigga. I mean, but I think so. I think it's in that class. I'm talking about all the way back to, I mean, old in the 80s, DJ Red Alert and all them types of mixtapes. Right. Like, it's in that class where it's a period in time where you couldn't hear no music without hearing DJ Drama or somebody saying, when are you going to get a DJ Drama Gangsta Grillz?
Yeah,
man, two of my favorite Gangsta Grillz mixtapes that I felt like was the two most slept on out the whole series.
Okay, slept on means it's not one of them
saying that it's not, like, it wasn't the one that ground broke.
It wasn't
like,
popular it wasn't to the most common.
It didn't break the artist to the next platform,
okay.
I think, but they were still two of the dopest ones.
Mm.
Motherfucking Slick Puller
and Bone. 4-4 day was hard.
Oh, and Big Country came too.
Shout to Cunt, shout to all my guys.
OB and shit.
Yeah, OB, that was my gang. I mean,
Dro did his motherfucking thing.
If it wasn't for Tip, really, I don't know if Gangsta Grillz would be what it was because, you know, he was the, like, when me and him was coming up, it was because of him understanding and, you know, Grand Hustle, like, getting it. So when we hooked up and did the first tape where it was all, nigga, literally all Tip, like, that was like, I was like, okay, finally, here's somebody that I can make the type of project I wanted to make with, and we could, you know, do this whole project together, because everything pretty much followed that, you know what I'm saying? So
he wrapped his ass off.
So what was your vision when you say, okay, whatever you do, and this is what you was going to do, your stamp. What was the vision that you said, like, all right, this is what I got to do for these people?
A lot of my vision was really just about, like, was about branding, to be honest. Like, even when I was doing them early, like, when I started with the tapes, or just even in my career, like, from early on, I always wanted to make it seem like I watched how people respond to DJs or the music and things like that. And the thing I always hated, like what listening to the radio or going to a party, was like, I don't want anybody to leave here and just say, yo, the music was good, or the DJ on the radio is doing good. Like, no, DJ Drama did his motherfucking thing. Right. So even with Gangsta Grillz, I was like, all right, if I can make this brand strong, I can kind of create a platform for myself to even kind of get on and everything. So, you know, on the early tapes, like, nobody knew what I looked like. And, you know, they just heard my voice. Like, people used to tell me all the time, like, nigga, we thought you was dark skinned and fat. Like, when they heard, when we
they
heard your voice.
They came out light in here. They're like, that's you?
Yeah, they...
All that DJ drama, that's you?
Yeah.
Nigga look like he's supposed to be in Shalimar,
baby. What the fuck?
He got this Shalimar face.
You see, you don't drive for DJ drama? Like,
this the Gangsta Grillz
like
shit?
Shalimar member.
So, a Shalimar
member. Yeah, he's Shalimar member, for real.
So then, that, you know, and then outside of that, it was just really going against the grain. Like, at the time, the way I was doing my tapes and then the style that was out, people used to tell me, like, when I used to, like, just hand-to-hand them shits, niggas would be like, yo, when you dealing with music from the South, people that buy mixtapes, they don't want to hear the talking like up north DJs or new shit or exclusives or freestyles and all that shit. And I was like, man, shitting me. Watch how this goes. So I literally applied a format that people said wasn't going to work. And, you know, I started moving with niggas like Killer Mike, doing freestyles and Bone Crushing Tip at the time, and, you know, just bringing new shit. And that shit was like, it caught. So I was like, oh, I'm on to something here. Like,
that was crazy.
It definitely caught. Like, you, the talking on the mixtapes, like you and I say Bigger Ranking.
Yeah, Bigger.
You got to know the streets.
Bigger Ranking. You can feel it. You can feel the soul when he talk.
Definitely
the streets don't love nobody, dog.
And you like, you know what? I want to hear this shit again. Yeah, exactly. That shit back.
But
you know what? I feel like you was the one who kind of like definitely started that. You know what? I'm not gonna allow them to skip the song.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, yeah, for sure.
I'm gonna play it. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I'm gonna let y'all get to the hook. And guess what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna bring that bitch right back and say another minute before you hear the song. And I'm gonna tell you why I'm bringing this bitch back. And you like, you know what? Read a book, because this we listening to a book. Let's go crazy.
I would do all types of crazy shit that I was just learning. I remember even on Dedication 2, there's a part where I play a song, I'm like, nah, it's too early for that.
Right.
And make niggas go to another song and then come back to that song. And I just was like, at that point, I was just showing my ass. And one thing I feel like I brought
I
to the
that.
Table.
I felt that.
Yeah.
I was sitting there listening like, this nigga just showing his ass. I'm halfway through this motherfucker.
Like, that's just the arrogance of where I was with the shit at the time. Like,
I
could just do whatever. Well, like,
maybe
that.
Definitely should give your ass a hand clap. Like, because if it wasn't for you, niggas wouldn't even play that shit back.
Man,
they would just listen to it. It would just sound like a regular mixtape, but you amped it up.
And I felt like I remember before me, mixtapes, like, there's always been DJs on mixtapes and, you know, shout outs and saying things and everything. But I used to listen to mixtapes and everybody be like, yo, shout to 125th Street or, you know, shout to so-and-so over here and all that shit.
Paid in full.
Right.
You already know. Play the game. You know what I'm saying?
You know, that shit kind of came from that era. So I was like, all right, if I start, you know, if I'm on top of the music, how do I make it where I'm really adding something? So I just started listening to the music and then, you know, saying fly shit, you know, every street nigga ain't a rapper, every rapper ain't a street nigga, but if you figure
that
it out,
was
you know,
so cold.
Like just fly shit that people would add
got to
that.
Together. I'm not just talking about real niggas, I'm talking about real street niggas.
Facts, just how it came in too, just like that. So, you know, with that, I think that's one thing that people liked, and you know, once the tapes were coming, they understood, like, yo, we gotta get drunk and talk that shit. Like, it's just different.
And you originally from Philadelphia.
Originally from Philly, yep.
Well, from Philly, me.
So, did that mixtape influence, like you said, just having that background of being up north.
Right.
When you came down here, was it hard for people to, did you have any, you know, resistance and people accepting that type of, you know, DJing?
1,000%. I mean, I never felt, you know, Atlanta's the type of city where it's just, you know, anybody that comes here or moves here, you understand the level of Southern hospitality or love. Right. So one thing I learned early on coming from Philly, I always had gotten embraced, or, you know, when I moved here to go to Clark Atlanta. So even in my early years, you know, I met people that were doing the similar things that I was doing and, you know, always offered to help a hand. So I was like, it's just different from Philly. It's, first of all, we don't have as many outlets. And then, you know, it's just a different energy in a city where you might not have a vibrant city like Atlanta with, you know, so many black people getting so much money at young ages and everything. So that was different. But never, like, I always felt like, damn, it's really love that I'm a kid from from out of town, even though I had lived here for some time, but getting embraced by the city, you know, by the music and everything. So really the only resistance I ever had, if to say anything, was like with DJs that we were, you know, in a competitive sport. But even that was, you know, that's just the competitive nature of it.
DJs
like,
really be beefing.
I mean, you know, it's like anything in hip hop. Like it's competitive.
Take your
like,
motherfucking turntable.
Yeah, I wanna, you know, I'm gonna bust your ass. Like, me.
So okay. Y'all stupid. Come on, I'll take your turntable. Okay, now listen. Now, you're a DJ now. Can you break down the difference between a DJ that just have a laptop?
Yeah.
And the ones that used to scratch?
Yeah, of course.
Or the ones that hosting on a mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it's a lot of different, like, DJing is like a tree with a lot of branches, like anything, especially like now all these years later after literally you could pick up your computer and you know, you could technically become a celebrity DJ
right.
If you not already haven't.
I've been trying. That's hard. I salute y'all, nigga. That's hard.
So, yeah, I mean, I just look at it like, you know, there's no rule book to this shit, and I ain't want to say if somebody necessarily could push a button or call them not a real DJ or have you. If you can rock in front of a crowd of people, you know,
right.
I'll salute you. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad I come from the era where I really had to carry crates and I was the last nigga in the club. And like, if you ain't had no real friends, you had to carry all them. Cause them shits is heavy as a motherfucker. Like, and we used to have like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. If you had your whole record collection, you had a lot of crates. So, you know, like this era of DJs, it's a lot
DJs
more women than
vans.
Yeah, you had to.
You had to
have an SUV or something with a trunk in it, or else you wasn't getting around. I remember when I first started getting money, the first car I had was a Benz, and I was like, I'm never going back to SUVs, like because of that. But I came from that era of carrying crates, but you know, people don't know that grind because you can just come into the club with a Louis Vuitton book bag and
it's a wrap.
Yeah, with your shit on.
Did you have any DJs who you had to carry their crates for them? Did you get ushered into the game that way?
I never technically carried any crates for anybody, but I had different DJs during my career that like definitely showed me the way. When I was in Philly, it was a DJ named Ghetto, who was more like a scratch type DJ. He used to win like DMCs and everything, because I used to study all the shit, so I was into that just as much. I was never that good. That's why I was focused on the mixtape. But then there was a DJ, you know, shout to DJ Mars, who like used to really be moving around in Atlanta a lot. Yeah, Mars, my guy. So you know, when Mars did the Super Friends, and you know, in the early 2000s, like he took us under his wing in some ways, and I definitely learned some of the game from him and everything. And I remember a time when I didn't think anybody was going to ever correlate DJ drama to me, because I was like, that word is just too popular of a word. Other people use it. Ain't nobody going to think about me when they think of that. And Mars was like, nigga, don't change your name for nobody.
Right.
And then, you know, I never forget that advice, because I didn't. I was like, all right, you right. Make everybody come to you with their name, or make another nigga change his name. So, so Mars was an early influence for me. DJ Shaquem, who used to DJ for Bow Wow. You know, I saw all these guys like when they were like, you know, top of the game, and I was kind of like, you know, just I was still putting together CDs at the crib that I was burning from Kinko's. So yeah, but I definitely would salute Mars for, you know, help showing me the way and things like that.
What do you think is the most impactful gangster grill of all of them? If you had to pick not the necessarily best one, but the one that had the biggest impact on the game.
I think it's two. My argument is between Trap or Die and Dedication 2.
There you go. I was about to say.
Yeah.
Dedication.
I'm like, and Dedication. That boy.
Like, and Dedication as a series, as a whole, is another phenomenon, because it's literally 6, 7 of those, you know, compared to like Trap or Die as a stance still. But to me, Dedication 2 is the best one. And then, like, impactful wise, just like Trap or Die, that shit changed my life. Like, that shit changed the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at where we are now with the effects of Jeezy and that influence of that time. But between them two, like, that shit, you know, can't nobody fuck with me, man.
Tell him again. No, I'm telling you to do that.
That's why we brought you here. Talk your shit.
Nah, yeah, can't nobody fuck with me.
How did that Jeezy Trap or Die come about? Like, was that something that you orchestrated, or did it kind of, you know, a lot of things just kind of come together just, you know, by the universe? Was it one of those, or did you orchestrate it?
Well, interestingly enough, I mean, I definitely think the universe played a part. You know, I used to live in the Fourth Ward. I used to live on Glen Iris, which is right around the street.
Yeah,
and they get right,
right on Glen Iris.
Right around the corner from Boulevard and everything. So
Coach, they on purpose. Man.
When Coach used to live around the corner, that's how I met Coach. He used to live right around the street from me. Shout out to Coach K. And you know, he came to me like, you know, in the early days. He was like, yo, I got this new nigga I'm working with. And they had just put a project out called Come Shop With Me. And, you know, anybody from that era will tell you, the old Jeezy, Come Shop With Me van used to ride around the city and everything. So literally, Young used to come to my crib before the Gangsta Grills, and I used to make him show tapes. When he used to come to the 4-4, I used to just, like, put freestyles on there for him, charge him a couple $100, and boom, boom, boom. So that's how we first got introduced. And then he pretty much, like so not Trap or Die, but the tape we did before that was called Streets Is Watching. That was our first tape. That was literally the first mixtape I ever got paid for. They gave me, like, $1,000 at the time. And, like, one thing about Young is that he always had a vision. Like, you know, he knew where, like, he had it laid out in a sense. And I was like, yeah, no doubt. I mean, I don't think at the time, I can definitely admit, like, I never saw it becoming what it became. But, right. You know, Gangsta Grills was already a brand in motion. He was like, yo, I don't even know if you know how much the street's fucking with you. So after we did the first tape, and then, you know, like, it just caught like that. Like, I just started seeing the reaction. And my man told me, like, early on, you know, this is when T.I. is, like, on top of the world, you know what I'm saying? And right. My man walked up like, yo, that Jeezy tape you did, that's the best Gangsta Grills you ever did. I'm like, the new nigga? Like, word? And he was like, I'm telling you. So then I started going on the road with them, just doing the Chitlin' Circuit days and seeing the response and reaction from the tape and everything. So by the time we got to Trap or Die, where we was about to do it, you could feel in a sense the energy, especially obviously in the city and everything. But when we did that tape, like, I didn't see it becoming that. Like, it was life changing. It was every day. Every city I went to, I used to be on the road with Tip. I would hear that shit coming out of every car. Like, you know, I think that, you know, just to this day, my nigga, I see people all the time that tell me how many years they did behind bars and what Gangsta Grills meant to them in there and how they listened to them and those tapes and everything. Like, it just was special. Like, and I believe in the universe playing a role in a lot of those things. Like, you know, when the story's told, like a nigga from Philly literally helped change the sound and the movement of Southern rap when it comes to, you know, that time and that place of hip hop and everything. So that's the universe, point blank period. Or the fact that I lived around the corner from fucking Coach K to even, you know, introduce me to the guy that, you know, we're going to change each other's lives.
Hell yeah. Coach got the game in the headlights.
Yeah, for sure. And has been for some time, man. I'm, you know, it's a good feeling to see people you came in with, like, still doing their motherfucking thing. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Coach K. He always had the game. Well, yeah.
So you get to a point where you got the Trap or the Gangsta Grills, the Trap or Die. Like, did you say, all right, this is what the move is, the Gangsta Grill series? Like, what made you say, you know, I'm gonna make it this instead of just going calling a different shit? Like, you had the Streets Is Watching before, right? Why not Streets Is Watching?
Well, it was always still under the Gangsta Grills umbrella, but I knew by that time that Gangsta Grills was the thing that was going take me through there. Like, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm on to something with this shit. Like, because I, before those tapes, I was still, they was basically regular compilations, like mixtapes, with just, you know, songs from everybody. So by the time I start getting to that space where, you know, guys are coming in and we're doing whole projects, like, I knew I was, that was going to take me in a direction that I wanted to go on with my career and everything. And I was just telling somebody this earlier today, matter of fact, I was talking to Hitmaker Young Berg, and he was going back talking about, you know, I didn't even remember this. He said I charged him like $30,000 for Gangsta Grills. And I was like, yeah, I was out of my mind. I was going crazy.
$30,000. Mr. Thanksgiving.
You guys hearing that with an echo.
In the hood. Yeah, I feel you.
Bro, I always wanted to see Kirk Franklin Gangsta Grill.
That would have been
great.
That'd be crazy.
Raise the roof for Jesus.
There wouldn't have been
you
no song.
Hear me?
There
would have been all no... the old bitches in the front row. Raise the roof for
there
Jesus.
There wouldn't have been no songs. You wouldn't have had that as soon as he
yeah, me and him would have been going, yeah.
Back. Oh, you thought it was just going
to
be you?
Yeah, and then I'm going to have to say
but
my shit.
But already knows my time, and it's time to get down. That'd have been dope. Who's somebody that you wanted to do one with that you never got to work with?
Who's somebody I wanted to do one that I never did?
Me?
Yeah, y'all.
You would do a Gangsta Grills with us?
I would.
You would?
Yeah. You want to do your solo? He basically saying we got to do our solo first.
So you want to do some comedy shit?
Then we can double back. He want to do some real shit.
Serious,
he sent me some records, but he knows where I'm at though. So I don't know if he's real about it.
What you mean where I'm at?
We've been having this combo for 2 years.
That's the name of the Gangsta Grill.
I don't know if you real about it.
Hey, I am the lady.
That's kind of hard though.
Yeah, you hear me? I am the label.
I'm going to know if you're real about
that's
it.
I am the label.
That's DC mixtape.
DC know where I'm at.
Nigga ain't never put a dollar in me. I am the label.
That's hard.
You hear me?
Let me think.
What you charge?
Don't say
it. I ain't going to charge you nothing.
Yeah. Ooh, I heard it before.
He said it on
you going to pick up the phone?
Yeah, no, why not?
You're not going to pick up the phone for free money. When it's free.
We gonna, it's bad. It's ways to make money.
We got it on tape now. I just keep
because that's really it.
I'll send it to him over and over again. Remember these
days. You know, if you don't want, you don't pay me up front, then you know, you just gotta bust me down on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, checks I'm trying, coming to, there, I'm trying to do. Ain't no chump, man. I've been out here hustling. Yes. What do you need, DJ Drummer? Yeah. I am the label. I answer to no one.
So Gucci and Drake was gonna do one together.
Were?
Yeah, that was gonna
we need
be
to, that. We need to put that in
there. Oh, you know what I've never said? I never told this though. So the Beam Me Up Scotty, the Nicki Minaj, shout the Holiday, that's my brother. But originally Nicki had hit me about that was gonna be her Gangsta Grills. That never happened. Yeah. So that didn't happen.
Damn.
That Gucci and Drake though.
Yeah, hey, Robin Drake.
Hey.
Travis Scott before the rodeo.
Okay.
That was gonna be a Gangsta Grills. It's a couple of projects out there that I might, you know.
That's a cool, good another question. Do you have to be a gangster to get a Gangsta Grill?
No, absolutely not. Damn. Absolutely not. And that was one thing early on with the brand, even when the direction I was going, I was like, I never wanted to necessarily be pigeonholed into that per se. Right. So I remember when I first did like a tape with like Pharrell, I did one with Lil Brother. Like I remember people being like, how you gonna do a Gangsta Grills with Lil Brother? You know what I'm saying? But I was like, watch this. And I knew that, you know, the brand was where I would be able to take it. So I think I've stepped out enough with it that it ain't about being the gangsters up here, clearly. Right. So, what I'm saying?
Yeah. Cause that was I'm just thinking all kind of shit they could have been.
Right. Yeah.
Nigga, Mr. Biggs, Gangsta Grill.
That was
Ron Isley, man.
Some of my best ones is like R&B ones. The Jeremiah Late Nights Gangsta Grills is fire. Man. Chris Brown shit is fire. Like, right. Yeah, then there's some good ones with some that don't even come in the form of me having to scream over them.
Now, you know, a lot of people might not know this, but the feds came and got you, like.
Yeah.
Can you talk about it? Hold on.
Yeah, it's over with now. Yeah.
I know it's over with, but nigga don't even like to talk about old shit. You straight?
No, I'm good. Yeah, enough time has passed.
All right, bet.
How did that happen? I mean, was it because what was the reason behind that?
To be honest, I don't know if I ever found out the real reason behind it. I mean, somebody was in a position, they was back in the day when they would have like music stores and everything. I think it was a Peppermint was in the mall. What's the mall? I said Morrow. What mall is out there?
Oh, that's
South what? South Lake is out there. Mm. So it used to be a chicken South Lake mall. They used to have like one of them stands in the middle where she used to sell mixtapes and everything. And I guess she was booming. So Peppermint called the cops on her like, yo, it's a lady out here selling bootlegs or whatever. So then when they came to her, she was like, nah, these not bootlegs. Like, these is good. I get these from DJ Drama. So I guess they looked into it. And then they went to my website. They started doing some like research and everything. And like, you know, at the time I was like the mixtape king. I was on top of the world. So not in a million years did I ever think about something like that, or that was even possible. You feel what I'm saying? It wasn't like we was dabbling in no other shit. And like, so, you know, one fateful morning, they came to the door with them M16s and them guns drawn and the black Tahoes up on the porch with the helicopters outside. And
for your music.
My nigga, for music, bro. For music. Man, not a joint like, or bro, fucking nod.
They got CDs, bro.
Nothing.
They melodies. They are called melodies.
They told me, so then they told me they was booking me for the RICO. So, you know, this is
all. Nigga, the Rico. At?
They got me for the Rico.
Rico.
Bro, the next day when I got out and I was on the phone, somebody was like, yeah, you checked your bank account? And I was like, nah, for what? And then, nigga, check your bank account. That shit said 0.00.
Took it?
Oh, they took everything.
Oh, my God.
and took it. And that was the first time I had ever seen no real money. So I used to just look at that bitch every day.
Right.
Just look at them numbers. Just like this. And that shit said 0.00. I'd cry my little heart out. But
I still be crying.
In the scheme, of things, you know, I mean, I feel like, you know, it made me more famous. They put me in a sense of faster than I was already going. You know, it made me a martyr to the game. And I just never wanted to feel like, damn, I don't want this culture that I grew up on, I love, to die on my shoulders. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just, that was my thing. Like, damn, I don't want mixtapes to die and it be my fault. You know what I'm saying? So, but it was a hell of a time. It was a hell of a situation. But, you know, now, I mean, it's for some things that literally, like we're talking about, like, that is the name of the game now. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything we're doing was literally what we had been doing at that time. And the law that they actually got me on was some shit they called the True Name Law, where they said if you make a CD, you have to put an address on the back of it. So you remember how the mixtapes used to be? It was a black case, so it wasn't no back. So that's what they technically...
So how did you bounce back from that? Like, you go from being on top of the world, looking at the numbers every day, now your shit is in the red.
I mean, I was still, you know, my shit was in the red, but I still was who I was. So,
yes, sir.
And then, you know, it was like, it garnished me a lot more attention. Like, nigga, they put me on the cover of Billboard after that situation. Yeah. So it was like a newfound fame in a lot of ways. And I had yet to put out my first album on Atlantic. I was about to put my debut album out. So, you know, Atlantic was hype at the time. Like, oh, you can't pay for this publicity. Like, let's use this. Yeah, so
that album came out. Together.
Yeah, so that's how they came. And then... You know, even when I would do interviews, I remember thinking, like, this is only a chapter. Like, everybody who goes through anything faces adversity. So,
this ain't nothing. You know, God is great. You overcame adversity, and look at you. You hear me? You talking about you hear me?
Some
damn melodies,
man. But it's like, after going through that and seeing what it did for the culture, do you feel like, I don't know, like it could have, like you was chosen for that to push this forward or what? Or a victim of whatever they thought or what?
I'd like to. I mean, my glass is always half full. So, you know, if I had to be the one for that, like, I guess I'm thankful for that because of my outlook and never knowing that, you know, we're going to rise from this. Like, this ain't nothing. You know what I'm saying? So.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver.
And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
So yeah, you know, I mean, I love this shit. Like, I love it. So for me to be here and to think back about that and think about, like, you know, it's a whole part of people who might know me and never even knew that shit happened. Right. But saying that's just
I never knew that shit happened.
Yeah, you know, that's to me, that's a pat on the back of the things I've accomplished since then. You feel what I'm saying? So, you know, I look at it like that. You know, I put everything in context.
Speaking of albums, how does that work? Like, I always see the DJs, you DJ Khaled,
yeah.
Like, and you have all these artists on the album, and I'm thinking this shit got to cost so much money to make because you got all these.
Right?
Is the budget bigger for a DJ album, or do you just basically like, is it all just a phone call?
It's if you were to pay everything based upon what a DJ album would cost, that shit would.
$13 trillion.
Oh my
right.
God.
It gotta be, bro.
I think about my albums and the names on there. So yeah, a lot of it is based on relationships. I mean, there's definitely money involved, but you know, my budgets have been fair. They ain't been like over the top. But when you do an album like that to that extent, you know, labels or whoever your business partners is, know you're gonna have to call in some favors because that shit's a pretty penny. You feel what I'm saying? So, but you know, I've been blessed to work with the greats, and it's a motherfucker to say I got so and so on my album.
Hey, out of your whole catalog of all this, you know, music you've been a part of, what was the one in your catalog that was like the sleeper that did take off immediately that people kind of had to go back and get?
That's a good question. I don't know. I gotta think about that. I'm trying to think if it's a tape or. I mean, that Jeremiah Late Nights mixtape is still pretty fucking fire. I feel like it's a little underrated to this day.
Fire. I ain't even care.
That shit's special.
I never heard that.
That'd be able to fire.
I mean, but you know, honestly, I technically, in a sense, feel like that with every artist that's signed to me or comes from me because, you know, I'm all, you know, one of the things about being in business with me or being a part of my label is I'm going to promote the shit out of my niggas. So, you know, I can look at pictures and look at times when I've, you know, now they're fucking some of the biggest in the world. But, you know, when I was pretty much co-signing them and nobody knew who they were per se. So I guess, you know, everything I'm a part of for my label in a sense, I don't want to say it's slept on, but, you know, I catch it from an early point and then just to watch from, you know, those days to where it's become, you know. I think just today, like Uzi tweeted, Jay-Z said he's like Prince. So now they're going to call him the new Little Prince. Mm. And I was, you know, the nigga is. Like, he's different. You know what I'm saying?
Did you see that when you first saw Uzi?
No, I didn't see this. Like, I didn't. Like, he was always very confident and always had a vision and a path. I don't know if anybody can see this, though. Like, the nigga's the fucking alien. Like, he's another planet rock star. You feel what I'm saying? So I'd be lying if I...
Salute, Uzi, what's up, nigga?
I'd be lying to sit here and say that I saw that. But, you know, we knew
he was special. Diamond in his head.
He
is crazy, man. He got a whole goddamn pink diamond.
Big ass pink diamond, man. That's what it is. But this, like, being from Philadelphia and Uzi being from Philly, like, did you ever feel like being as though you came to Atlanta, like, all right, I got a responsibility to go back home and get some mine now because I done did all my work down here.
1,000%.
I owe it to the city.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like I did that through the years. And one thing about Philly is like, niggas still be like, nah, nigga, what have you done recently, though? Like, you know, it's just...
You got to be getting somebody every 3
yeah.
months.
Oh, like, even like, man.
Come on, man. Get your shit.
Come on, man. Disability, man.
So, yeah, I mean, I've felt that through a lot of times in my career. But, you know, obviously for me and Cannon, like, you know, having Uzi as an artist, and then, you know, coming out the gate with it and his success and him being from the crib, like, yeah, that was special. Yeah, that shit was special.
What's been your fastest turnaround on a mixtape?
As far as
the putting it together from start to finish.
Ooh, that's a good question too. When I used to have to do dedication, I didn't have a lot of time. Like I think the deadline was in a couple days or something. Right. The first one.
Yep. Has there been an artist that requested you be in the studio the whole time they doing this shit?
They asked for that, but I don't do that.
Nigga, why you not? Got to be here. I need you.
So you do it without them?
No, yeah, it's a process. Right.
Yeah, I like.
So do you listen to the song first?
100% all the time.
The whole back and forth.
I go into the songs, I listen to them, and I think about what I'm going to say.
You don't think it's a better I mean, why not be there, though? Does that not help the process if you're there when the
I don't mind being... No, because I've had some fly shit come out of sometimes when I was there, because I remember what we did when me and Meek did Dream Chasers 2. We wanted to... Ready or not. Now, I had some fly shit I had just read in Time Magazine or something. It was about sleep, and the tape was the Dream Chasers, so it was like perfect timing, but... Right. So, yeah, so there are some times where some good shit comes out of that. I don't know. I just like to be in my own zone, pretty much.
How many times have you had to do one where you just be like, this shit horrible, but I got you ain't got to name the nigga,
that's
but.
That's the hardest part about music,
like, though. You get
ain't no way you gonna like everything.
Nah, and that nigga see this, you be like, oh, shit.
I can't try to get on this.
You know what it is?
This is some bullshit. It's gonna be the best bullshit you ever hear. I promise you, no bullshit is better than this. From 1 to 10 tracks of straight bullshit.
You niggas ain't up on this.
Yeah, that's classic.
Oh, shit. That is crazy. Niggas be like, well, I gotta hear this shit again.
Yeah, right here.
Hey, all right, y'all. I ain't gonna lie. That shit hard, y'all.
Get down to the shit I'm putting down right here.
That's the best bullshit you've ever heard.
This track was bullshit. Oh, wait till you hear the next one.
I'm like, oh, shit, this shit worse than that? I gotta hear that.
Bullshit, you ever
said that? Cut the car off, my nigga.
That's
hilarious.
What'd he say? Never mind what he said.
Cut the car off, my nigga.
Oh, shit.
Play your song. Fuck that. Classic. Play your song.
Yeah. Just let it run.
Right.
Just let it run.
Did that ever happen, though? You ever had that happen?
Yeah, I think I could count on 2 hands. I've probably done 500 to 1,000 gangster grills. I probably can count on 2 hands at times I've...
You was like, ah.
Yeah.
500
yeah.
to 1,000?
So how do you...
Damn. It's like 500.
How do you spread it out? Because I know you'll have an intro. Mm-hmm. You might see it go over every song if you like.
No, I don't want to do that. I don't like doing that.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. You had it. So would you do the intro, or middle, then the end?
As time went on and the game changed, I started going on less and less songs.
Right, right.
But definitely the intro, definitely something at the end, and then where it fits accordingly. I never want to be overbearing. I want to blend in with the music. You feel what I'm saying? So
yeah,
that's important. Change.
That nigga crazy, bro.
People have said shit to me like, damn, I want Drum to do my be in my graduation, be in my eulogy.
You know what you gotta do, though?
Where?
You gotta do a GPS, though.
GPS?
Ooh. Nigga, you a killer as the GPS.
That's hard.
Make a left!
Yeah, that's
yo,
fire.
My nigga, the destination is coming up!
Yeah.
Nigga said you wasn't gonna make it, but look at you! You already there!
That's fire.
Nah, for real. Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, that's hard. You ever thought about expanding and doing different shit?
Oh, of course. Like, absolutely.
You'd be like Siri on a cell phone.
Your voice fire. Is famous now. Yeah. You got to branch off, man.
Nah, I would love to do that.
You ask Siri a question and this nigga, what it do? You're like, oh, nigga, I'm just trying to figure out this song. That's one of mine right there. That'd be dope, bro.
GPS.
Yeah, GPS is crazy.
That's hard. Mm-hmm. Don't go up there. The police to the left. You got 3 pounds in the car. Bust a right. Hold up. It's another police. Nigga, just pull.
They see you start like, speeding a little bit. He come in. As soon as you get over the speed limit. Yo, niggas think the police ain't out here.
I'm talking about the rear GPS. Slow down. Your transmission slipping.
Right. Exactly, dog. That's genius, bro.
Legendary.
It'll be dope. All the DJ niggas. That'll be dope.
That's
nigga, I want that. Niggas, him bigger ranking all them niggas on the goddamn GPS.
That's my dog. I crazy. See you on your way. Don't slow down. The streets don't love nobody, dog.
Then I'm born. That's what it is. Have you ever thought about expanding in that capacity, though?
I play around with it because I know my voice is like, you know, epic and known now. So I'm all for shit like that. Like I do shit like, you know, I do a lot of like voice imaging and voiceovers and stuff like that and other avenues and things. So
I get a real cartoon. I
done some cartoons and everything.
They had to like stop your DJ voice. You like, what up, my nigga?
Nah, I be having my shit under control. I be ready to talk normal more than anything. That's funny. I have to remind myself to turn it on. Because, matter of fact, that shit happened to me the other day. I was doing some drops, or I was DJing or doing something, and then, like, they wanted me to do a drop at the end, and I turned it on, and he was like, it would have been nice to have that energy the whole time. And I was like, damn, the regular shit was just me. Like, that was just me doing myself.
This nigga that say, damn, son, where'd you find this?
I don't know who that.
Who is that?
I don't know who that
is. Well, how do y'all be getting them shit like, so you know, damn, son, where'd you find this?
You know who the Gangsta Grills drop is, right?
Lil Jon, right?
Right. Exactly. So Gangsta Grills drop is Lil Jon. You know who on the Cannon, you know, that voice is?
Uh-huh.
That's
Cannon.
That's from the John Madden game. So who does the voice for Madden with the Steps Back? That's the guy, Pat Summerall. That's Pat Summerall's voice.
Cannon.
Yeah, that's Pat Summerall. Because Cannon was playing a video game and he made a character on the game. It was like Cannon Steps Back. Take three.
Cannon. That boy cold. Why Cannon? Not all of them. Oh, because the Cannon.
DJ Cannon.
Yeah.
Don Cannon.
I get it.
Trendsetter.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Them shits, little drops. Like, do you make your own or is
it everybody
like
makes their own.
Everybody make their own.
Everybody
makes
their own.
So what you got new coming out? I know you got some.
Man, you know.
A lot of artists.
Yeah, a lot of artists. Been, you know, the label's been booming. The energy is good. So Jack Harlow just dropped. That's what they all say.
Yeah, Jack Harlow was coming on Wild & Out. Early.
Remember, when we did that, when we did Wild & Out, I think he had made What's Poppin'. It wasn't even moving.
He did it two times.
I remember he did it.
The first time he was extra early. You know what I mean? The second time he had started to pop, but that first time
but still was,
he had SoundCloud.
That's what it was.
So that was early on. So, and then we got a new artist, Ceddy Hendrix.
Ceddy.
Yeah.
Okay. Go crazy.
Dysonville. Duval.
Ceddy is crazy.
How do you find your artists? Like, do they find you or do you find them?
Sometimes they find me. I feel like Ceddy found me. I think that would, because he was at the studio. He said he wound up sneaking in like a couple times before that. So he found me.
He snuck in the studio?
Yeah, he snuck in.
Well, you got a mobile.
Wait, man.
Like music, you got a mobile.
How do you do that?
Ceddy, how you sneak in the studio, nigga?
I snuck in the studio already.
Engineer, David. Come here, nigga.
Say that.
Yeah,
he'll whisper
in
this
artist right here.
Ceddy Hendrix in the motherfucker.
Ceddy!
What's
happening? What's happening?
Talk your shit, gang,
guys. I snuck
in this shit.
Yeah.
I bet. I snuck in the studio through an engineer named David. You feel me? He's from Jacksonville, too. But after that.
So he gave you the inside.
No, he kind of told me, he was like, listen, once before we he had done went there twice already, and I'm at the house, and I'm like, you know what, bro, you're not just going to be telling me you going to DJ Drama Studio. The third time, I'm going. And he's like, nah. I'm like, I'm going.
Right.
So he said, all right, when I go and I go in, I don't know you. I said, cool. So I go in that motherfucker. When I walk in, you know what I'm saying, he go his way. I sit on the couch, meet this one dude. Feel me? Oh, as soon as I see him, you know,
Right.
Oh, let's go, but let me hear your music real quick. I play him these songs, molded me, and he gave me the usual, gave me a card. Never heard from him again.
Right.
I come back, you feel me? I meet Willie Joe, you know what I'm saying? Willie Joe was like, he heard play him the same songs. So he like, oh, nah. He put me in the studio, let me hear some Riot songs, OMBPs, and bring me to a video shoot. Then I meet him, through Willie Joe. And then John heard my music and was like, all right, I want to see if you can do it again. He heard some more and was like, I need him.
It's rap.
Yeah. It's a rap.
Fucking right. Stay down, gang. Violence. That's how you do that shit. Pull back up. You hear me? What you mean? Damn.
I thought when you said snuck in the studio, like the nigga leaned on the wall,
wait
on the door, then close, snuck it
mention that.
I know.
I see you.
It did sound like that, right.
You put your ear to my phone.
That would have been a hell of a story if it happened like that and I signed a nigga off that.
Yes.
We had people at the door all the time.
Damn new.
But see, but when you seen drama, but they seen a pommel.
Oh, yeah,
stop
for
sure. Yeah. You like, I can't. I gotta stop the pommel. You know, I know he though. He in there.
He's somewhere.
I like how you brought up Willie Joe, because that's Black history, bro. Right. That nigga Willie Joe looked out.
Yeah. What? Did that nigga Willie Joe out, bro.
His Willie name Joe Willie Joe. Joe. He come from a long history of niggas that looked out.
Willie Joe ain't the type of nigga that do some shit with you, right. But he ain't gonna stop you from doing it.
Right.
I'm gonna come in there and kill master.
Right.
I ain't gonna tell him. The front door be unlocked.
He said front door.
Willie Joe.
Yeah, Willie Joe.
History of Willie Joe.
That's hard.
Hey, like, so what do you have to hear? Like, all the music you did, you say you did a 1,000 mixtapes. Right. What do you have to hear to say, that's it?
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like as much as I got to trust my ear, I don't trust my ear. So, if that makes sense. Like, all right, so boom. Like, you say, what do I have to hear? Like, right. I'm not the know-it-all be-all, so it's shit that's, if I listen to it, I might say, like, you know what, I don't really hear it, but I'm also 42 going on 43, like, I'm not supposed to, so if that's not for my ear, yeah, let's rock with that, let's see where that go, you see what I'm saying? And like he said, I wanted to hear it again and, like, get an understanding. Now, I ain't gonna lie, Seti shit I liked off top, it was no, he made the type of music I listened to, but there's other artists that, per se, like, that are huge right now that I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, eh, but I was open enough with myself to understand, like, you know,
and grow on you.
Yeah, everybody.
That's what
different.
I was about to ask. What's more important, the music that they're currently displaying or the star power? Because some motherfuckers, they might not be where they need to be musically, but they are certified star.
Right. Well, I think that's interesting because what a star is now is different from what it used to be. Like what we think a star looks like or sounds like or how a star comes in that form. So, you know, that in a sense is, that makes it in different when you hear people's music, because there's a lot of musicians now in 2021 or even the last couple of years that people might not say look like a star off top, you know what I mean, like or just how they coming. So, you know, the music speaks volumes in a sense at itself, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, look at our, like, Cardi, for an example, like, you know, like, from where she started as, you know, on Instagram and her personality, like, she had the personality of
a star, period,
but it wasn't, the music wasn't attached to it, so, in her sense, you know, that worked where the star power overpowered enough to where the music kind of caught up, per se.
But you missed on, somebody that you heard and had the opportunity to jump on, and you were like, I don't see it.
There's a couple.
That happened. There's a couple? Just give her one. You ain't got to give her to everybody. Just give her one.
I really wanted to sign Tory Lanez. And, you know, me and Tory got a great relationship. But I also don't know if I feel like things work out how they're supposed to work out, so. So, yeah, so, you know, that was before we kind of had Generation Now kind of move in, and you know what I mean? So it worked out how it was supposed to.
Generation Now, where did that name come from?
That name was actually a mixtape that me and Cannon came up with because we was doing a tape with this new guy that wasn't really gangster grillish, but, like, he had some shit to him, and he was a producer, and he gave me some drops to host this tape. And then I was like, damn, like, we work with this guy. This ain't Gangsta Grills, we call it something else. And me and Cannon was like, damn, so Kanye West is hosting the tape, the new nigga. And then we was like, let's call it Generation Now. So the first Generation Now has Kanye and Joe Budden on the cover. That was a mixtape we did in like 03, 04.
You just not gonna skip over that shit, you know, Kanye West. That was the new nigga, damn.
The first Generation Now mixtape we ever did was hosted by Ye, and this is like before College Dropout and all that shit.
Damn.
So that the name literally comes from his movement, what I envisioned at the time, and, you know, just Generation Now, like, this is what's up next, like, this is right now. And then I literally sat on the name for years until it was time to, like, start the label, and was like, yo, Generation Now is perfect for what we represent.
You lost a lot of music, right?
Yeah, at times.
Saying, like, when that shit
happened. Yeah, when the raid happened, yeah. Hell yeah.
So what was some of the shit that you had that you, that's
gone in the wind? Yeah. Some Wayne verses.
Whew.
Damn, what songs? It was a couple songs, but on the other side, what I didn't have at the time was the Outkast record. I had been trying to get Andre to fuck with me for like the last like 7-8 months because they agreed to do a song for me because we were supposed to do a mixtape. We were supposed to do Outkast Gangsta Grillz. And then they got kind of busy, but they was like, yo, we'll give you a record for your album. And I was like, all right, bet. So I started sending Dre like beats literally from everybody that was anybody in the game, and he was like passing on them. So then after this, the raid happened, I went to Cannon. I was like, yo, can you... Well, Cannon had made this beat for me that was kind of similar to something else that was out by Jim Jones at the time. So I went to Marsha Ambrosius. I was like, listen, I need a hook that's going to be like, yo, nothing can stop us. Like, we can't be stopped. Like, you know, we going to still be here. She banged this shit out, and I sent it to Three Stacks. And, like, literally, he was like, yo, I'm going to hit you back tomorrow. And he sent me this fucking verse for the Artist Storytelling 4, you know, for this record I got with him and Big. And it was like, I just, you know, that... That's my favorite group of all time. Like, right. You know, Andre 3000 is literally the GOAT. Outkast are the GOAT. So, right. You know, just to have them on my record, my debut album, and for that song to come out, it was like, this shit's crazy. The universe again.
It's crazy. It's probably some FBI agent son riding around. That's some shit, right? All unreleased Wayne verses. Never heard this, bro? Get in the car, bro. Get in the car, bro. I got something you ain't never heard, bro. Gangsta Grillz, bro.
His son. His son.
He said, hey, bro, you listen to rap, take this.
That's funny.
Black guy. Mine ain't no fight.
That's funny.
So what was that surprise, like, what was the surprise person that hit you that you never thought would want to be a part of your series? Well, then it...
Artist that came to you.
I'm saying, like, motherfucker, like, what? You?
You want to fuck with me?
I mean, I know this is probably like a literally, this is not politically correct right now, but when Kel's called to do a Gangsta Grillz, like, that was.
Damn.
I was like, this nigga R. Kelly wants to do a Gangsta
Grillz?
Kelly
wanted to do a Gangsta Grillz?
Yeah, that's the one that had that Yo, Sex Trump. Olympics on it. Yeah, I remember that Sex Olympics. That was one of my favorite. I wasn't going to say nothing, but since you said it, fuck it.
What?
That was my shit. I ain't going to hold
you it. You know what I'm
saying? That shit was that's cold, shit on there. Nigga.
Was that the limit?
Nigga, the whole Kelly shit was, yeah, he was amazing.
Yeah, it was fire. That definitely was one.
Like, when you get those songs from them artists that's legendary already, and you get them, and now it's up to you to put your spin on it and put your flavor on it. Is it more pressure when it's a legendary artist?
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's a lot of pressure. But I also know they come to me for that reason. Like, you know, they reach out because they know I'm the bells and the whistles. Like, my kitchen is better than everybody's kitchen. Like, I'm Chef Boyardrum. You feel what I'm saying? Like, they come with the chicken. I put that bitch in the oven. I turn that bitch to 375. Like, my seasons is impeccable. You know, right. When I deliver it, they're like, oh, this is perfect. This is
like, what I want. Like, this shit disgusting. Nigga, do it over.
Like, nigga, what?
Jeezy mixtapes. So every time me and Jeezy would do a tape, I was so used to him. Like, whatever intro I did, I know he was going to come to me and be like, yo, you got to come harder. You got to come harder. So one, so a couple times, like,
yeah, that's great. We ain't got no insurance, so get your ass up.
So a couple times when we did tapes, the first time I would do it, I wouldn't give my all because I knew I was gonna have to do it again. Mm-hmm. So I would just say some shit, and then I go in. He'd be like, "You gotta come harder," and I'm like, "All right, bet. Let me put the real shit on there now."
Even if you was to just be like, "You know what? I'm gonna just put some eye shit," and he'd be like, "Boy, that shit hard." You like, "Damn, hold up."
Oh,
I really want to do something else.
Yeah, I kept it. Did I? I'm like, all right, but I say this shit for something else.
Say no more then.
Seti, like, with you being a newer artist, like, is it pressure on you knowing that there's so much history behind who you're working with, like, or you already had that, you know, that major influence of wanting to just be great, or do that motivate you more?
Bro, this nigga snuck in the studio. You think he feel any pressure?
He ain't worried about that shit, gang.
Hell no. He asked for this life.
Exactly. Like, I knew what came with knowing that, especially coming from Jacksonville, Florida, like, I already knew what I was signing up for. Like, you know what I'm saying? I knew to separate myself. I knew I was going to be, he wasn't finna take no bullshit. Like, I was going to come with him trying to sign it. I was going to have to come with it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And know that. You feel me? He done
so
blew
when you
a lot
realized
of people.
That moment was like, all right, this is it. This is all I work for. Yeah. I got to go crazy.
We in the studio, and Joe, like, matter of fact, Joe committed.
Winning Joe. Hey, man, it's a new Winning Joe, man. My boy, Winning Joe.
Living up to the name.
Winning Joe.
Joe. And Joe and they're like, hey, you feel me? Joe, I'm supposed to be popping in. You feel me? Da, 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 da. So just, you know what I'm saying? You feel me? Gave me a little prep. So I'm not even, we got the camera in there, HD Fats in there. I'm not even, we just played a song. I'm just finishing the song. He busting in the B room. He just walk in. Like, what's up, bro? Now, at first, this was John. I don't know that I peeped, but I don't know. At first, he ain't, you feel me? He dap everybody up. He see me. He, what's up, bro?
Oh, yeah, you the peep.
Yeah, like, what's up? So I'm like, I bet.
Before Corona?
Yeah, way before. Dang. Way before Corona.
Dap you up before handshake.
Hit me with the boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I say, all right, bet. Little camera. He hear the music. Like, let me hear some music. Hear some music. And right. He go crazy. He automatically rocking with it. He automatically.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hold on. Yeah, you know, them bitches real.
Oh, my fault. Yeah, man, he
ASMR on that bitch.
Yeah, though, he heard music first time, just like, man, I'm on it.
Yeah, music was cold.
From the very first time you heard it, you were like,
first time.
Yeah, Sadie, like, my favorite, like, in rap.
Gang shit. Mm-hmm. That right, too?
That's dope.
Yeah, that's dope. Shit, gang. Right. How old you here, fool?
I just turned 25, January 20th.
January.
I born 1996.
Yo, that's it. 90 baby doing they thing. You hear me?
Man, let me ask you this.
What's up?
Somebody might be watching this that ain't never heard none of your music. Like, why do they need to hear it?
Soulful reality street music.
Okay.
Right. I represent. You going to learn something. I'm going to drop some jewels. I'm going to get you through something. You feel me? You're going to be able to relate to me. And whether we talking about the ladies, whether we talking about the streets, whether we talking about what's going on in the world.
Ladies in the street.
All of it.
Okay.
So what song, if you had to have... one song for all those people who don't know you, what song would be the song that you direct them to listen to first to give them that vibe of what you're talking about?
Hands down.
Hands down.
Hands down. Then what's next?
Florida Nights.
Florida Nights, because I'm a nigga. I'm going to look up all that shit.
Florida Nights go hard. I fuck with Florida Nights, you know, yeah.
Or Moldy. I think you're like Moldy.
She just sent it to me. I listened to the whole goddamn thing. Hey, okay, okay, so you in the game now. Now you in the game, you there. It's rap. Who do you look at as, like, motivation and be like, I want to work with, just on some of the artistry, the aesthetics of it? You feel what I'm saying?
Right now?
Right now.
I'm going to keep it 100. Brett Faiyaz.
Who?
Brett Faiyaz.
Nigga, that's it, right?
Mm. That's it, correct?
Yeah, I think it's Brett Faiyaz. I don't know if it's Brett Faiyaz.
The way Jit moved, like the way he moved with it.
Right.
The way he, even on from Instagram to the way he pushed himself, like everything. He laid, he out there, you don't know how he coming, but you know he coming.
He coming.
For sure.
Okay.
That's how I've been moving my whole time in the industry. And I peeped that in him. So, you know what I'm saying?
That's right, too. Okay.
If you could do a song with one legend, who would it be?
Michael Jackson.
There you go.
Hell yeah.
Bro, Michael Jackson, the coldest motherfucker that ever.
I was going to say Tupac, but you know what I'm saying?
Same thing.
Michael make you go in there and do that shit again.
No, dirty.
I don't like it.
Mm. Dirty.
I don't like it.
Dirty.
Why, Mike? I just don't. Do it again. How you want me to say it? Be young.
Dirty Diana, one of the hardest beats ever.
Can you talk your talk, DJ Trevor?
You'd love to do a Michael Jackson gangsta grill.
Oh my God.
Yo, Mike.
A Tito Jackson.
Mm.
Nah, Tito just coming up probably doing his stuff.
Yeah. I might have passed on the Tito, man.
Yeah.
My bad, Tito. Tito got
it. Tito whoop your ass.
The shit out you now.
Tito got a
Tito got a belt that still do this shit. Ha, ha. I'm like, that nigga only fuck.
Is there any, like, speaking of artists, like young artists, like, do you have to tune out your own personal liking of music to get into the young people? Should I hear a lot of guys who've been in the game a long time say that, like, I can't get into that shit. Like, so how do you?
I don't know if it's because I'm a DJ or what, but I feel like I've navigated gracefully through music in a sense where, you know, it might not be what's from my golden era per se or what I listen to, but I love new. I'm addicted to new shit. I always have been. So, and I'm thankful for that because it keeps me feeling fresh and vibrant and, you know, like, and you know, I ain't like. They keep me young, you feel what I'm saying? So I don't gotta run around and try to be 21 or 25. I fuck with a lot of young niggas, so you know, I can stay in the mix. But a lot of the shit that's come out to me is, you know, it's hip hop. Like it might not all be for my ear, but I get it, you know what I'm saying? So I probably listen to more young niggas shit than most people my age per se, or I mean, I don't know, us in the music business, I feel like you have to. If you don't, like, This just ain't it for you. Like,
yeah, the game will pass you by.
Hip hop is a young man's sport, so it's just different. All the
way. I think every genre and every what you want to say generation had this time when niggas
got
like,
to.
Man, I don't want to hear that
for
shit.
Sure.
You feel what I'm saying? If you go look at all
every
the history,
time, always
even been. With the Tupac and Biggie, it was a time motherfucker like, man, I don't want to hear that shit. We is in that time right now, but we just gotta embrace it.
A lot of people don't understand that that's always been the point of you know hip hop music. You're not supposed to like the shit. Right. That your parents like. Fashion. So even if your parents like hip hop, you're not gonna like the same shit.
Right.
It's like, you know, that's like the blues to you know.
Right. But I think that gap should be bridged. Like what you said, the perspective you have is dope because the older people who have that music and the younger people, if we had a more open mind, you know, the game would be open. Like I see all the rock and roll artists that can still go out and sell out arenas, you know what I mean, to this day, and they 60, 70 years old, but for something to be for a hip hop artist, like, man, get your old ass off the stage. Nobody wear that shit, nigga. Fuck wrong with your old ass, nigga, old bitch ass. Nobody wear that old hip hop shit.
30 years ago.
You know what I mean? Like, I think, and then in the same way with the older generation, where they say, man, nobody want to hear that shit. What the fuck is he saying? He just moaning on the track. That shit sounds stupid. Like, if we could bridge that gap, like, I think that, you know, it'll help our music last long.
No, I agree.
If we appreciate it, they appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree to that.
I ain't listen to that rock and roll bullshit. Them niggas be out there, no, all in the money cash shit. Why they yelling?
That's the whole point. They hurt.
You're guitar screaming, you screaming, bitch, this ain't art.
It's some other shit.
It's some other.
But salute, if y'all make a million, they hate.
They make the same type of music niggas make. They just sound different.
Same
concept. They got the strip club music. Girls, girls, girls. That's they shit, yeah. Pour some sugar on me.
Yeah.
If you want some love.
That's art. That's art. That's art.
Rock and roll community.
They talking about other shit.
Rock and roll hard. They be talking the same shit rappers be talking
about. Yeah,
they
do.
It's just in a whole different
place. It's in an up-tempo. It's real fast. Slow the fuck down.
You ever wanted to do a rock and roll game?
They on drugs.
I think I did one. Me and Cannon did one. I forget the name of this
Linkin
group.
Park?
Nah, I forget the name of the group. But they kind of know now. I got to ask Cannon about that.
What genre would you jump into if you could? Like one that you haven't done that you think would be dope for you to
Oh, definitely in the Latin genre.
Oh,
techno.
Sure.
Yeah, you do some techno?
He done that yet?
I don't think techno exists anymore.
He look Cuban.
Yeah, he look like a Puerto Rican.
What is daddy? Like daddy Yankee. Yeah, okay.
One of them daddy Yankee type.
Techno, the old nigga version of EDM. Yeah.
Run that shit back, daddy Yankee. I don't think they hurt the motherfucking gasolina, nigga. Who that I got so leak? No,
fire.
no, nigga. Say it in English.
I ain't did none in the Latin world.
In the Latin world.
Yeah, that'd be
so
fire.
Yeah, we putting that out there, all the Latin
reggaeton.
Reggaeton. It'll be a dope that gangster grills, man. It's a legendary series. Come get you one.
They got this Latin rapper, he blowing up right now. What's his name?
He's on one.
Jay-Z just gave him.
Yeah, what's his name?
Oh, J Balvin?
Yeah,
Balvin.
He killing.
I'm sorry, going stupid.
J Balvin is huge. He just did some shit with McDonald's, if I'm not mistaken. So, niggas is big.
That's what it is.
Well, shit, man.
Shit, nigga, ain't no exit, nigga.
It ain't that, like, it just
leave, nigga, get in your car. We be like, all right, y'all. Shit.
Man, this shit go on forever.
Right, it's not, the history is just
500 to 1,000 gangster grills.
What's y'all favorites?
Dedication. Oh, man. That's one of mine. Dedication. Dedication 3.
Dedication 3 is hard.
Dedication 3.
What's the one with the red and he was leaning on the car? Black or white? It got red anyway. He leaned on
They
the
all
car.
Got red. I think. I don't know.
He had the big ass pants on, that long ass belt hanging off. I'm like, God damn.
I told you my two. I like Slick Pull or Mac Boney.
The one with T.I. Where he said that line. He said, I'm Huey Newton. I'm Huey Newton with a PhD, or maybe Martin Luther King with a GAT. That's one of the hardest lines.
I think that was down
ever,
King.
Nigga.
Let me see them sweatsuits. I got some sweatsuits for y'all, too.
Welcome back.
Yep.
Real nigga, you done borrowed some clothes, nigga?
Hell yeah.
Hell, I'm talking about, ain't nobody ever borrowed no clothes.
What you got? New Face actually brought some.
That's Willie Joe, by the way.
Willie Joe! Actually brought some gangster grills. Some real authentic.
Yeah, man, I want
that one, man. Yeah. Oh, that's a lot.
My brother, yeah, that's my guy right here. I know he's classic.
Spoke about this moment, right? Woo!
Oh, shit.
Ozone magazine.
Yeah, this after the.
Before it was the gangster grills.
Yup. Welcome to the extravaganza.
He said he got paid for.
This tape, but I was still moving them on campus myself when I did this one.
Pee Wee Longwell, that's one of my ones too. That blue Eminem.
Public album.
Run around the lobby.
A-ball,
MJG. Oh yeah, that's my first album.
My new favorite. We're gonna get you a museum,
Willie.
Right. Yeah.
Damn, Willie the Kid, Willie. First shit.
Willie the Kid.
Yeah, remember Willie the Kid?
I remember
that was our
Willie
first
the
artist.
Kid. Where Willie the Kid from?
He from Michigan.
But
I thought Willie the Kid was from St. Louis.
Nah, he from Michigan.
Man, the snowman was
classic.
Jesus, oh, yeah. Snowman.
This is where I came.
Wintertime.
That's where I came up with Mr. Thanksgiving on that one.
Watching the state patrol, they control the state.
Yeah, bro.
Bird
Rock. Man, how you ain't got no dust or nothing on these motherfuckers, man?
The Bird Friend.
Oh, the Bird Friend was classic.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic.
Damn, look how long my shirt was.
Yeah, look how long the chain was, nigga.
Fuck.
What year that was?
It's like, affiliates, nigga!
It's like 07. Yeah, May 2007.
Was this the beef?
They was giving them out of measures.
Oh, damn.
This one they was beefy?
Yeah, probably so.
Who?
With Luda and Tip.
Yep, I was around that time.
Yes, sir. Dang. Oh, you did both of the diss tracks, didn't you?
Nah, I just was, I was Grand Hustle at that time.
Right.
I was, damn, it's classic.
Get you up.
Oh yeah, go
ahead. Like, what does it feel like to see all this work? That like, does this put it in perspective for you of how much work you have laid down?
Yeah, it's pretty humbling and inspiring, and just, you know, I'm appreciative. But it's like I was telling somebody even back then. My goal, I remember thinking like, all right, nigga, you got here. How you stay here? Cause
by this, it's the product,
right?
Real.
Some of them are bootlegs.
It's okay.
Well, I mean, that's
bootlegs probably used to be right around the corner. They used to bootleg all this shit right around
the corner. Some of the bootlegs are actually the real copies.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how did that work?
I would let them rock. I didn't give a fuck. Because the more bootlegs, just meant the more people wanted it. Right. So for me, it was like, man, the more the merrier. Flood the streets with that shit.
That's
so I used to always, anytime I used to see bootlegs, I would get excited. I'd be hyped.
Well, we'd be crazy as hell if we didn't ask you, what advice would you give somebody who's trying to get into the music business? I know a lot of people ask you, like young artists and producers and shit like that.
So honestly, man,
what
I just think,
do you give?
I think everybody should just trust the process. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we all...
Stay the course.
You got to stay the course, and you got to, you know, if you really love it and you're passionate about it, and, you know, like, you know, it's definitely important to have good people around you, you know, and when I say good, I don't want to put too much definition on that, because... good can come in a lot of different ways, and you know what I'm saying? And I just think it's important to have real people around you in some form or fashion. Nobody does it alone. You know that you're going to have missteps and know you're going to have ups and downs and everything. But I just think in today's day and time, like, it's, you know, there's so many different, we have so an abundance of so much, but it's also a blessing. Like, when I was coming up or a kid, all we had was the radio at 10 o'clock where I could hear rap shit and catch Rap City and Yo MTV Raps. Other than that, I just had to wait till the next time. Like, we have everything. We have y'all podcasts. We got other podcasts. We got, you know, you go on YouTube, look up your favorite video. So with that being said, there's no reason why you can't create opportunities or find creative ways in anything. And, you know, you got to walk a fine line. Like, there's a fine line between being persistent and annoying, you know, when you're trying to get your business off or introduce yourself to people. But yeah, man, more than anything, I just say, like you said, walk the course and trust the process, you know, and do it because you love it. And then, you know, make something with it means something to you. Like, I think about so many things just in Atlanta alone. Like, Atlanta is such an amazing city of how many people have come from this city just really trying to impress their neighborhood and have turned into, like, global stars and made these records that, like, you feel what I'm saying? Like, I think about a record like Swag Surfing all the time. Like, in a million years,
did they ever think that
was going to become what it became, like, to the extent and represent what it represented. So, you know, time will tell, man.
And salute to you for having a hand in all of that, man. You played a major part in all of this coming together, man. This is history. Like, you know what I mean? See, I just know for me, seeing all of these CDs and just remembering, you know, the CD case and riding and going through it. And you get that new Gangster Grills, man. And when they go on the CD player, it just, you know, you about to hear something that's going to make you not go home straight away. Like, I got to ride around for a little bit because I got to hear this in the car. Yeah. Like, and that's amazing, man. Salute to you, bro.
Good looking, y'all. Appreciate
you and DJ Envy talk.
Yeah, that's my guy.
All right.
Yeah,
we clown him about that shit all the time when we go up there.
That was legendary.
Yeah, man.
You know, this shit me and DJ Drama, you know, we always good.
Yeah,
you know,
that's my guy.
We definitely fuck with him. Every time we go up there, you was sitting over that bitch.
Like, Envy was wrong, man.
Okay. I'll talk about it. So, like I said,
it went right into it.
Yeah, man, we fuck with them up there, man.
Nah, but let me tell y'all, and congratulations to y'all, and salute to everything that y'all are doing.
Thank you, brother.
You know what I'm saying? Like, kudos. I know sky's the limits. You know, incredible things, man. You know, we supporters, we fans, whatever y'all need on our end. For
hey,
sure.
Man, close us out this motherfucker.
Oh,
man. Come on, close us out.
One time.
Hey, yo, listen, man, once again, man, it's the 85 South Show. Y'all know what the fuck is going on. Shout out to Ceddie Hendrix. Ceddie Hendrix Generation Now is here. Loso!
We out this
BC!
You did!
I mean, what you want to tell him?
What I want to
tell
him? Chico! What I want to tell him? Shit, nigga, we got the motherfucking International Gangster Grills coming, featuring DJ Drama, whoever come, and me. I'm speaking Spanish on that bitch.
You speaking Spanish?
L-I-D? Chico.
You speaking Spanish?
I'm speaking Spanish.
We gone.
Like we gone. Ow!
Hey, we gonna run this next.
Oh, I'm with the drop. No, appreciate you,
OG. My nigga.
Love.
Good shit always. Love.
Damn!
Come on, motherfucker, beat me to it. You ain't got a shit in there, do you, nigga?
Huh? I got one more.
Huh?
One more?
Yeah.
This is one bathroom, man. Go ahead and do your thing, nigga. I just got a fit.
Show me. Right,
well,
shit.
Shit.
You know, I went viral on some shit. That show you that shit you did when you talk about.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.